Okay, good morning. I suppose most of you have seen on the messages that Didi sent out that what we're talking about this morning. After I shared a few months ago, it didn't record, and apparently quite a few people wanted to send the message out to others, and some couldn't be here. So Christoph asked me to share it again. So for those of you who did hear it the first time, it's not exactly the same, okay? I've tried to upgrade it a bit, but we will basically be talking about the same topic, which is walking in blessing. Since I last spoke, the Lord has obviously taken me a bit further along this journey, and the thing that the Lord impressed upon me recently is we need to walk in a number of things as Christians. We need to walk in prayer, we need to walk in forgiveness, we need to walk in humility, but we need to learn to walk in blessing as well. And two testimonies recently really spoke to me on that. And the one testimony, I think there's one Pete shared his testimony about how the Lord had spoken to him about getting up early and reading the Word. And he started doing that, and he started obeying, and what a blessing that was. The other testimony that really impressed me was Margo's testimony about her relationship with her father and how they'd had a bad relationship when she grew up, but later as she got married, she just felt, or when she was going to get married, I should say, she felt the Lord telling her that she should ask her father, who she had very little to do with up until that stage, to walk her down the aisle, and how difficult it was, but she did it. And then how much blessing came from that, in that a lot of family relationships were restored. So the whole point was, what the Lord is being impressing upon me is obedience and blessing go hand in hand. It's so important. Obedience and blessing. One cannot live in blessing if you're not living in obedience. And that has been impressed upon me a lot recently. And the Lord is so faithful. Firstly, I didn't know, but the Lord laid on my wife's heart and on Corinne's heart that the scripture is about repentance, and repentance has got so much to do with obedience, doesn't it? And then also this morning when we were praying at the back, Albrecht just prayed that we would be obedient. And Albrecht had no idea what the Lord had laid on my heart. So thank you for that, Albert. Thank you for your obedience there, and for what you prayed, because that's what I feel we really need to bear in mind. So why I've opened, before I get into the message, why I've opened with this is, if you feel at any point on anything that the Lord is convicting you or the Holy Spirit is convicting you, remember, obedience and blessing go together. So if you feel the Lord is speaking to you on any point, pray about it after the service, follow it up with Him, pray about it, and ask God how you can be obedient to what He's saying to you, so that a blessing can flow from that. Okay, so let's get into it. As I said, the topic that we're talking about this morning is walking in blessing. So I started up by looking at the definition of blessing in the dictionary. The dictionary defines blessing as a special favor, a mercy or benefit, a favor or gift bestowed by God, thereby bringing happiness, invoking God's favor on a person. And when God looks down on you and protects you, as is an example of God's blessing. So blessing obviously includes things like protection, provision, joy, guidance, peace, and many other things. And what's interesting is, even though the dictionary may have been written by people who don't know or acknowledge God, when it comes to this word, they have to admit that the blessing comes from God, which is interesting. So blessing is definitely something that comes from God. Okay, so if we look at Scripture, we'll see that the very first introduction of this concept of blessing comes as early as Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, verse 22. It was when God was creating the world. On the fifth day, he created the fish in the sea and the birds in the air. And when he had finished, God said, "Be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the water in the seas, and increase on earth." And it says, and God said, God blessed them. Let me just get to my Bible here. Okay, yeah. And God blessed them. That's now the fish in the sea and the birds in the air, and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth." Okay. And then again, God again talks about blessing in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 3, again, right in the beginning of the Bible. And that's when God, on the seventh day, when he had finished creating, God blessed the seventh day and said, made it holy. So this whole concept of blessing comes right from the beginning of the Bible. It's something that is introduced to us right from Genesis. And then again in Genesis chapter 12, we actually read the first account of how what God really wants for us with blessing. And that is when he blesses Abraham. And he says in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, he says, "And I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curse you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So here we introduce to two concepts, really. The first is that God blesses who he chooses to bless, those who are obedient to him, those who do what he wants to do. And the second is that God wants to use us to bless others. Okay. Because God says through Abram he would bless other people. So that's important. That's two big important points around blessing is God blesses us, but in turn wants us to bless others. Okay. Right. Nearly finished with the introductions. And then I also went and read up what the Jewish rabbis have to say about blessing. And I read up, and one of the Jewish scholars, Dr. Nathan Cardozo, said the following. He said, "How wise were the sages of Israel when they instituted the custom of making a blessing on almost anything, whether it is eating or drinking or observing natural phenomena or smelling extravagant aromas, they depict all these activities as nothing less than totally miraculous." And then he goes on to say, and this really struck me, he says, "For an idea this common, it is astounding how the true power of it has been overlooked. Because to bless and be blessed is a fundamental part of our relationship with God, as well as our relationship with others. To bless and be blessed is a fundamental part of our relationship with God, as well as our relationship with other people." Okay, so for me, where this whole journey started was I started reading a book from Bruce Wilkinson, The Prayer of Jabez, and that is where the Lord spoke to me about this whole concept of blessing and being a blessing. And the Prayer of Jabez is found in 1 Chronicles 4, verse 10. Okay, you can turn there if you want to. Now, if you look at that chapter from chapter 4, you'll see the person who wrote it was talking about a genealogy. One person after the next, after this guy was the son of the next, of the next, of the next. And he just lists a whole lot of them. But when he gets to Jabez, he stops and doesn't just say, just name him. He says something about him, something special. There was something special about this guy. Something that this guy did that was different to anyone else. Something that was more important. Something that was more significant. And what he does is he records the prayer that Jabez prayed. And Jabez prayed the following prayer to God. He says, "Oh, that you will bless me indeed, that you would expand my territory, that your hand would be upon me, and that you would protect me from evil." And then it says, and God granted him his prayer, answered his prayer. Very simple prayer, very short prayer, but a very a significant prayer. And we'll delve into that a little bit and look why. So the first thing that I'd like us to note is that Jabez asked for God's blessing. Jabez asked for God's blessing. Now it sounds rather simple, doesn't it? But we need to ask. And I personally battled a little bit with this concept of asking because, you know, I thought, well, God's God. He knows what I need. Why do I need to ask him? He's in control of my life. I've given my life to him. Why do we need to ask God for things? But God wants us to ask. And when I looked a bit deeper into Scripture, into this concept of asking, in Matthew 7, verse 7, Jesus himself said, ask and it will be given unto you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. Jesus tells us to ask. Okay? He wants us to ask. And we'll see just now why. If we then look at the Last Supper, remember the Last Supper was pretty much the last chance that Jesus had to tell his disciples the things that were really close to his heart, the things that were really important, because in a few hours' time he was going to be judged and crucified. So he tells them very important things there. And if you look what was on his heart in John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. Thanks very much. Okay, so again, we see that Jesus said we must ask. And lastly, still at the Last Supper in John 16, 23 and 24, it says, In that day you will no longer ask me anything, but I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. So God wants us to ask. And why is that? Furthermore, sorry, in James, there's some other verses. I've only touched on this. There are many verses in this. In James 1, verse 5, James says that we should ask God for wisdom, and he will give it to us. And again, in James 4, verse 2, the second part of it, he says, you do not have because you do not ask God. So when I started reading that and started mulling over it, thinking about it, the thought struck me, well, maybe I'm not as blessed as I should be or could be simply because I'm not asking for it. Are we asking for it? And this week, it happened to me again. I had to travel this week for work and there was a lot of stuff and I just felt stressed and overwhelmed. And I was sort of trying to work. And then it's like the Holy Spirit said to me, ask me, ask me. And I thought, how stupid. And I said, Lord, please give me your peace. And the peace just came flooding over me. Why? But only after I'd asked. Why? Why is that? Why does God want us to ask? The first reason he wants us to ask is because asking shows faith. Okay? Asking shows faith. If my children ask me for something, they ask me because they believe it is within my power to be able to give it to them. Whatever it is, a new squash racket or whatever the thing. They will ask for what they believe I can give them. The same is true with God. We need to ask because that shows faith. So the fact that Jabez asked God to bless him showed that he had faith in God. The second thing that he did, which was a great step of faith in that same little question, he said, Lord, bless me. Some versions say, bless me richly or bless me a lot. He just asked God, bless me. But Lord, you decide how you're going to bless me. He didn't say, Lord, keep me healthy. He didn't say, Lord, make me rich. He didn't say, Lord, bless my business. He just said, God, bless me. You choose how you're going to bless me. If you're going to bless my ministry, if you're going to bless my health, bless my family, whatever, you make the decision. I'm trusting you with a decision of how you want to bless me and where you want to bless me in my life. So in that simple little phrase, he had two great statements of faith. The first he was asking, the second he was trusting God to make the decision as to how to bless him. And I think that's very important. We need to ask God and we need to trust him to bless us and let him decide how he's going to bless us. The second part of his prayer, the short part of his second part of his prayer, short bit, he said that you will expand my territory. Now, the first time when I read that, the first thing one thinks of is, Lord, bless my business. Lord, I don't know, Lord, bless me financially or whatever. But very quickly, the Lord showed me that that's just a very small little bit of it. And that's not really what he's talking about. Because then the Lord started challenging me. He started saying to me, Lord, expand my territory. Then the Lord said, well, how about I expand your prayer life? How about I expand your understanding of my word? How about I expand your patience, your generosity, kindness, hospitality? Sort of started working on that, and then after a while the Lord started speaking to me about a few other things. It started getting a bit more difficult. He said, how about I expand your forgiveness, gratitude, contentment? We're so often not grateful when the Lord has blessed us with so much. Maybe I can share. You cannot believe, every one of you sitting here, how blessed you are. A few years ago, with my work, I had to go to India. And one of the places I had to go into, because we had to look at sales of certain types of products, was the slums in Calcutta. There where Mother Teresa was. Those slums in Calcutta. I've been there myself. And I tell you, you cannot believe how blessed you are. You cannot believe how blessed you are, each and every one of you. So, just to emphasize the point of contentment. Lord, expand my humility. Expand my gratitude. Every single area, the Lord is challenging me. And, you know, all of those, and recently the Lord has been challenging me on expand my encouragement. That we can encourage one another. Life is tough out there. And we all need to be encouraged as Christians. I was looking at a thing the other day. It was interesting. I looked at a clip on YouTube and it named the top 25 countries that are the most atheist in the world. And I was shocked. I didn't think it was as bad as it is. But there are a huge percentage of countries all over the world where 75, 80, 90% plus don't even believe God exists. So what's the point I'm making? Is that it's tough being a Christian. It's tough being difficult. It's tough being part of that small percentage that does believe. One picks up all sorts of persecution. And for that reason, we need to encourage each other. We need to encourage each other. So that's another area we can grow in, and we can ask the Lord to expand that part of our lives. And then the Lord showed me was these areas of where he challenged me to expand was exactly what is in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, which is the fruit of the Spirit. Those are the things God wants to expand in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Those are the things that God wants to expand in our lives. And going along with that, again, we read in Matthew chapter 5, that's the Sermon on the Mount. If we look at the things we're talking about blessing and God blessing those areas of our lives, let's just read what Jesus had to say about it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Again, these things gel. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. We're going to come back to that one in a little while. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. So the areas in our lives that God wants to expand goes exactly with the fruit of the Spirit and the areas that Jesus said we are blessed when we live like that in obedience to God. Moving on, but then we get to the third part of his prayer. He said, "Oh, that your hand will be upon me." I think our first thoughts again are in the areas of provision, care, stuff like that, where we want God's hand upon us. And that's right and true and is so. But I think there's a bit more to it. The first area that I think we need God's hand upon us is when we are walking in blessing, God's going to challenge us. Challenge us to do things that we're perhaps not used to, or that we don't feel comfortable with. What do I mean by that? If you pray the prayer, "Lord, expand my ministry," the Lord can ask you to do something in ministry that you're not comfortable with, whether it is talking in front of people, whether it's starting maybe a Bible study or a prayer group, whether it's going to put yourself out in some way so that the Lord can expand your ministry. And for that, we will need God's hand on us to enable us. So another, to ask for God's hand upon us is to ask for God's enabling as well. Maybe the Lord will challenge us to go and ask for someone's forgiveness for doing something wrong. That could be tough, and we will need God's enabling to do that. We'll need his hand upon us to enable us to do that. So I think when Jabez prayed, "May your hand be upon me," it's those first few things I mentioned, but it also includes enabling. We need God's hand to enable us when he asks us to stretch for him, because as we surrender to him, he will stretch us, and for that we'll need his hand of enabling upon us. Secondly, we will also, when one lives in blessing, things go well, generally. I mean, I'm talking about, let's take a ministry. God's hand is upon your ministry and blessing your ministry, it goes well. The Bible study grows, the prayer group grows, whatever the case is. If God has called you to minister in prison, the group grows that attends the sessions or the meetings. So where God's hand of blessing is, there is growth and there's blessing. But at the same time, when things go well with us, in whatever way it is so easy to fall away. It is so easy to lose focus. It is so easy to think we've done it ourselves. And the second reason why we need God's hand upon us is to keep us. To keep us, to keep us humble, to keep us looking to him, to keep us realizing that it's all from him. That it's him who's given us what has been achieved. We need God's hand of keeping on us. If we look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, the whole chapter, the Lord speaks to Israel about when they take the promised land, and he says again and again, "And I will bless you," and he says, "And do not forget the Lord your God." Why? Because when it goes well, our very nature is to start forgetting God. And God doesn't want that. So we need his hand on us to keep us, to enable us, to keep us from falling away, and then, of course, for protection and all of these other things as well. What I always think about when I pray this prayer of his, "May your hand be upon me," Psalm 139 says it in such a beautiful way. Perhaps I should just read that verse quickly. Psalm 139, verse 5. it's the psalm where David speaks about how God has created him and everything. And then he says, you hem me in behind and before, you have laid your hand upon me. And that is like such a special place to be. And that's what I trust we pray for when we say, your hand be upon me. It's that feeling of God's hand is over you. You can't run ahead of yourself. You can't turn back. His hand is over you. And I think that is what we want. That's what the place we want to be, with his hand on us. And then the last part of the prayer, Jabez prays, he says, and protect me from evil. In the New King James Version, it says it a little bit differently. It says, keep me from evil and that I may not cause pain, which is an interesting addition. So we must remember the enemy is out to bring us down. The enemy does not want to see us blessed. The enemy does not want to see our territory expanding in any way. He's going to try and stop that in any way he can. And that's why the last part of the prayer is so significant. He says, protect me from evil. And like I shared the last time, Bruce challenged the readers of his book to make this prayer a daily prayer. Make it part of a spiritual habit. And I must say, I used to suffer from worry and concern about a lot of things, you know, state of the country and a number of other things. And the enemy was using that to rob me and to take my focus off the Lord. But since I started praying this prayer every day, protect me from evil, that is gone. God has given me deliverance from that. And two of the big things that the enemy uses to distract us and take us away from focusing on the Lord, one is worry and the second one's unforgiveness. Those are two big, big things. There are others as well, but those are two big things. And one needs to pray and ask the Lord that he would protect us from those things. Protect us from worry. Protect us from unforgiveness. We're going to touch on that a little bit more just now. But that's a very important part of the prayer. And also, as that other version, the New King James said, protect us from harming others. Protect us from doing things that hurt others. Because that damages our testimony as Christians. Okay. So that covers the prayer of Jabez pretty much, and the book, for me, what I got out of the book. But the Lord was speaking to me further on the topic, so there's a bit more to it than that. And as I was studying the topic and looking up blessing and looking up the verses in the Bible that had to do with blessing, the Lord led me to Acts 3 and verse 26. Acts 3 and verse 26. Should get it quickly here, because I did mark it. Here we go. Acts 3 and verse 26. Okay. The background of this quickly was that Peter and John were walking in Jerusalem one day, and they came across the crippled beggar, and he asked them for money, and they told him that they didn't have money, and that, but they could, but he said, silver and gold we don't have, but what we have we give to you. And then he told him to get up in the name of Jesus and walk, which he did. After that, the Sanhedrin were calling them in and asking for an explanation, and Peter was talking to the Jews about what had happened. And then in verse 26, he says the following. He says, when God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you, that is to the Jews. And then he says here, to bless you, by turning each of you from your wicked ways. To bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. And I stopped and I thought a lot about this. And then I felt the Lord was saying to me that to be in a place of blessing is to be in a place of repentance. Because that's what he says. To bless you by turning you from your wicked ways. So when we're in a place of repentance, When we're in a place, which is what the worship team was sharing with us earlier this morning, when we're in a place of a soft heart, then we're in a place of blessing, which is actually also goes with how I started the sermon, which is in a place of obedience. A soft heart and obedience go hand in hand with blessing. So we need to have a soft heart to stay in a place of blessing. We spoke about walking in blessing. We walk in blessing when we're walking with a soft heart before God. A heart that obeys, a heart that is sensitive to what the Holy Spirit says. Now, this is in full agreement with what we read in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 4 a little while ago, when Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Those who mourn for what? Mourn for their sin. Mourn for a wicked state of their heart. Each one of us. When we mourn for the things that we do that hurt God. Blessed are those who mourn. In other words, blessed are those who have a soft heart. Blessed are those who are sensitive to the Holy Spirit. For they will be comforted. Comforted how? Comforted with forgiveness. I would say starting with actually comfort with conviction, because that's where it starts. Comforted with conviction. Comforted with forgiveness. Comforted with joy. That's how we will be comforted. So, having a soft heart is living in a place of blessing. But then, of course, the converse is also true, that if I have a hard heart, then I'm not living in a place of blessing. And what struck me is that that's pretty much my choice. Whether I live in blessing or whether I don't has got to do with the condition of my heart. If I have a hard heart, I move out of blessing. If I have a soft heart, I move back into blessing. So I think if you really think about it, and it happens to all of us, life happens to us, we all know when there's something that's happened, someone has upset you, someone has said something hurtful, and sometimes we choose to hold on to that. We don't want to let it go. We've got a hard heart. What happens? You all know. When you pray, it feels like your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. When you read the word, you get nothing out of it because there's a hard heart there. One's not in a place of blessing because one's got a hard heart. So when if we want to live in a place of blessing, we need to live with a soft heart. We need to live in a place of repentance. And then God can bless us. And then God can expand our territory. And then God can use us to bless others. So, then if we look, going back to where we started about what God said about blessing, remember when he said to Abram, "I will bless you," and we've covered that now with a prayer of Jabez to a large extent, but the other part, he said, "I will use you to bless others." So if we look at blessing, part of our responsibility is to bless others. And I think this is split into two. Let's start with blessing our family. I feel that if we start with fathers, it's a father's responsibility, among other things, to bless his children, to be the spiritual leader, to teach his children and his family about blessing so that we can pass it on. If we have a look, there are a number of examples in Scripture where this happened. The earliest one I found was in Genesis 24 and verse 60, where Rebekah decided to leave her family and go and marry Isaac. And Scripture tells us that her father blessed her before she left to go and marry him. And then later, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in Genesis chapter 27. You remember the whole story of how Esau stole Jacob's blessing and how upset Jacob was for not receiving the, let's call it, the main blessing from his father, or the blessing for the eldest. because of that. So that is that was a big thing. It was important that fathers bless their children. And again, later we read that Jacob blessed Joseph and all his sons in Genesis chapter 48 and 49. He speaks a blessing over each son. So we can see clearly that there's a father's role to bless their children, to bless them in prayer, to teach them about blessing, to be an example of blessing. But it's not only fathers who have this responsibility, it's mothers, women as well. I think a nice example of this is in Proverbs 31, where the chapter deals with a wife of noble character. And we read about her, and it tells everything that she does for her family and for those in the community. And this is clearly a woman who has died to self. The Lord has expanded her territory because she's a blessing. It says in the Bible and that God has extended her territory. She does business deals. She works selflessly for her family. She cares for the needy and provides for them. She rises early in the morning to provide for her family. And then the word says, and her children will rise up and call her blessed. So the point I'm making, there's a responsibility on husband and wife, man and woman, to be a blessing. So how are we then a blessing in our home? How are we a blessing to our children? It's quite simple, really. We're a blessing when we have a soft heart, like we've spoken of. I can bless my family when at home I'm patient, loving, kind. Then I'm blessing them. If you have the opposite kind of reaction of someone who's irritable, unforgiving, whatever the case is, easily angered, that's not a blessing in the home. But when we have that soft heart in our home, then we're a blessing. Then we're teaching our children about blessing. Same goes, mothers, fathers, the same thing. I saw a lovely video on YouTube again when I was studying this topic of blessing. It was a pastor in America, and his son was getting married, and he took the wedding ceremony, and at the wedding ceremony he spoke a blessing over his son, his new daughter-in-law, over their families. He spoke a blessing over them publicly in front of everyone, and that's an important thing to do. And since reading this, I've tried to do that in my home. When my children don't live in the house so much anymore, well, they come home for weekends because they're studying. But before they leave, Karen and I pray a blessing over them. We pray the Jabez prayer over them. We pray blessing over them, that they will hear it, that they will understand it, that they will make it their own, and that we trust they again will pass on to their children. That as they learn about blessing, they will teach their children about blessing. But we speak blessing over them, which was something I didn't do for years, but the Lord has taught me this. So I want to challenge you as parents, speak blessing over your children. Pray blessing over your children. Pray the Jabez prayer over your children, that they would learn it and that you would bless them and that they can in turn bless others. So, being a blessing in our home and having a soft heart as parents also means that at times we will need to apologize to our children. None of us are perfect. There's no perfect parent. There's no perfect person. But asking your child for forgiveness is a tough thing, because sometimes we feel, well, you know, we know everything. We've been around the sun a lot more than they have. We know more. Or sometimes it's just our pride that's in the way. I mean, why should an adult apologize to a child? But that's wrong. Because if we don't do that, we're not showing them an example of repentance. And that's important. If they see repentance in us, they too will repent to each other, to God, and in their homes one day. So I want to challenge you as parents. Part of being a blessing in your home includes apologizing to your children when necessary. None of us are perfect, and we don't always do everything right. Recently, it was advertised again. This morning was the course that Kasi and his wife are giving. And the last one that was given, Karen and I attended. And then we started working through this book, Love and Respect, and that has also been a real blessing to us. And also just learning about each other, learning more about each other, and then also it touches on asking for forgiveness for where you've misunderstood each other or where you've done something wrong. Put it right. Ask for forgiveness. Okay. So that's blessing in the family. Then we also need to be a blessing to others. Not only to ourselves, but to others. I think there, it's pretty obvious, you can be a blessing to others in so many ways. Giving to them materially, financially, praying with people, encouraging them, visiting them, getting involved in their life, helping them in whatever way it is. The Lord wants us to do that. It's part of our Christian testimony and Christian witness is to be a blessing to others. To be a blessing to others. Now, there's some people that is difficult to be a blessing to. Okay, so I'm not the only one. There were some people, the Lord tells us, Paul tells us actually in Romans 12 and verse 14 that we should bless those who persecute us and bless those who hurt us. Now, for many years, I found that very difficult. We've all been through life. There've all been people who've hurt us somewhere along the line. Somewhere in life, someone has hurt you. And I felt it like really difficult to pray for blessing on some people. Like I shared last time, the Bible tells us we should pray for the government. I find it difficult to pray for the government. I'm serious. I don't know, maybe you're more Christian than I am. But I find it difficult. How can I pray for God's blessing on people that are, a lot of them, not all of them, are busy stealing and they corrupt and they're turning a blind eye to things that are blatantly wrong? How can I ask for God's blessing on them? That's tough. I find it tough. But God showed me two things. Again, sort of from what we've shared this morning. First is three things really. Firstly, he instructs us to pray for blessing on those who have hurt us, persecuted us, done wrong to us. Secondly, just like when we pray for ourselves, if you pray for blessing on someone else, just pray for God's blessing on them and let God decide how he's going to bless them. Okay, same as what we spoke about earlier for ourselves. Lord, bless the government, you decide how you're going to bless them. Let me not worry about the details. You decide how you're going to bless them. Just bless them, Lord. You decide how. And that almost takes a burden off you. It sets you free. It set me free. The other thing that we must remember is that when you're praying for blessing on someone like that, as we've spoken of earlier, that blessing also includes repentance. So what you're actually also praying is, Lord, bless them with repentance. Bless them that they would turn to you. Bless them that they would realize that what they've done is not right, that what they've done is wrong. Bless them that they realize, whoever it is, that that person has hurt me. It doesn't matter. If you never hear about it again, it doesn't matter either. But part of blessing includes repentance. And that also sets you free. Because if you're praying for blessing, let God decide how he's going to bless them. And secondly, that blessing includes repentance. And then leave the rest of the work to the Holy Spirit. Okay. Then I want to quickly touch on one last area, which has to do with blessing. I think it's something that I struggled with for a long time. And the Lord has recently really helped me or set me free with this. And maybe, hopefully, it will be a blessing to you too. You know, sometimes when we pray for blessing and we look at others, and we say, Lord, why are you blessing that person this way, but you're not blessing me in that way? And we battle with that. I battle with that. It sort of almost feels like God's unfair in some ways. Hey? Why does he bless this? Why, Lord, why are you blessing that family? Look at their children. They seem to be so obedient, yet my children are so rebellious and want to know nothing about you. Why are you blessing this person in this way and not blessing me in that way? I'm also praying for blessing. Why does it seem like some are blessed more than others? Why does it seem like some are blessed in some area of life and others not? And that sometimes can cause confusion or cause, whatever in our lives. We don't understand. And then it's sort of, we don't understand why God does this. I had that situation in my life. I'll give you a testimony of what happened in my life, which I didn't understand. And just recently the Lord has shown me about that. And I want you to think about this, because we mustn't think that way about God. What happened in my life about in the late 1990s, my sister got diagnosed with cancer. When they found the cancer, it was stage 4 lymphoma. So it was cancer in the glands, and it was stage 4, so it was advanced. She was at it seriously. We all started praying for her, and believed that God was going to heal her from this cancer. And God did heal her. She's now been almost 25 years cancer-free. So if you ask me, does God heal from cancer, I'll tell you absolutely yes. God heals people from cancer. He did it to my sister. He healed her completely. She's cancer-free. The doctor also told her after the chemo that because of what the chemo had done to her body, she wouldn't be able to have children. And God turned that around too, and she's got two beautiful daughters today. So God totally, totally restored her body. Then a couple of years later, my dad got cancer, and my mom, a few years after that, got cancer too. But again, we as a family prayed that the Lord would heal them from cancer. And I believe that we prayed with the same faith. In fact, I believe we prayed with more faith, because we had faith that God had healed my sister. I definitely had more faith. I said, Lord, you've done it for my sister. I know you can do it for my parents. I've got faith in you. You're going to heal my parents. But the Lord chose not to. The Lord chose not to. So the question that I've had in my mind for years is, why did God choose to bless my sister with healing, but he didn't choose to bless my parents with the same healing? You know, did I not have enough faith? The rest of the family, did we not have enough faith? What was it? Why did he bless one person with healing and not others? And sometimes we battle with questions like that. But let me tell you first, before I'll give you the scriptures that the Lord showed me. Although the Lord chose to take both of my parents through cancer, there was still blessing in that. The first blessing was that neither of them had any pain. They had a little bit of discomfort, but the Lord blessed them that they did not feel pain. Some cancer sufferers suffer tremendous pain, and the Lord kept them from that. The second blessing was that through it all, the Lord worked things out that all three of their children could be with them just before they died. And that was wonderful. I was able to be with my father the afternoon before the Lord took him that evening. Same with my mother, and all three of us, my brother, my sister, myself, were all able to be with our parents just before, and that was a tremendous blessing. You know, I didn't have the situation where someone phoned me out of the blue and said, your dad has died. And then you went, oh, I wish I could have said this to him. I wish I could have said that to him. I wish we could have shared some time together. It was a blessing that all three of our children were able to spend time with my parents just before they died. So the point I'm making is that even though the Lord decided to take them with cancer, there was still blessing in the situation. Okay. But nevertheless, I still had these questions in my head as to why God would choose to heal one person with a certain blessing and not others. And the Lord gave me three verses recently. The first one is in Deuteronomy 29:29. I'm going to read that to you quickly, which goes with the next verse, and I'm going to put the two together. Romans 9:20 and to 21, it's talking about God as the potter, and then he says here, Here we go. Romans 9, 20 and 21. It says here, "But who are you, O man, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, 'Why did you make me like this?' Does the potter not have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for noble uses and some for common uses?" So, God, although I have this question, is why did God heal my sister and not my parents? Why did he have that blessing on her and not on them? It fell to me. The Lord was just saying, that's my decision. We have no right. We have no. God has no obligation to tell us why he does things. God has no obligation to tell us why he does certain things. He's God. We are his creation. Some things we will understand. Some things we won't. And we must make peace. We just need to be at peace with that. And accept that he knows what he's doing. And accept that he has a plan. And accept that some things are the secret things that belong to our God. One day we'll understand. But here on earth we won't fully understand. And the last one, I think, which sort of sums it up for me, is John 21 and verse 22, which takes place after Jesus has returned. And it was the portion of scripture that Brett shared last Sunday. And it was when Peter and the disciples were out on the lake fishing, and Jesus appeared on the shore of the lake and he called them, and then he reinstates Peter. And then John, who is writing the book of John, says, "And Peter saw him," that is John, "and asked, 'Lord, what about him?' Then Jesus answered him, 'If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. You must follow me.'" And that said a lot to me, because it said that God has got some plans for some people, some plans for other people. I mustn't concern myself with what his plans are for someone else. I must follow him. I mustn't concern myself with why did God heal my sister and not my parents. I must follow him. And don't let things like that distract us. Don't let things distract us as to why the Lord blesses some people in some way and others in another way. We must just keep following him and be faithful. Okay. So it is an exhaustive topic. One can say a lot more about that, but that's all I want to share with you on that topic, specific topic this morning, is let's not concern ourselves with how God blesses others. Let's concern ourselves with just asking for God's blessing upon us. And I want to challenge you, make the prayer of Jabez a daily habit. Pray it over yourself, over your family, every single day. I've started doing that since the Lord revealed this to me, and it has changed my life. It has changed my family. It has changed so much in my life. Ask for God's blessing. Pray the prayer over yourself. Bruce Wilkinson said the same thing. He prays it every single day. Make it a spiritual habit. Brett preached on that a little while ago about making certain things spiritual habits. God has blessed us, and I've continued to see his blessing. Especially recently, Corin and I have just noticed how God has blessed both of our daughters spiritually. He's done a lot for them spiritually, and how they are both seeking him in a new way, really putting him first in their lives, and that is such a blessing. That's a real blessing. When your kids leave your home, you're always worried what can happen. God has done so much there in blessing us. And pray that blessing over yourself, over your family, over your children, over your marriage. Pray that blessing every day. Make it a spiritual discipline to do. Okay. So that is what I've got to share with you this morning, but I think we've got communion set out today, and which is the biggest blessing any of us as his children could ever have. So we're gonna celebrate that together this morning. And I've been asked just to lead that as well. So let me just get to the scripture here. I'm going to be reading from the part where Paul speaks about communion, and that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. Will those who are serving the communion please come up, the cell group? Start sharing with everyone, and I'll read. I'm reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "The cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. I think the fact that the Lord just led us this morning to a place of repentance and to asking his forgiveness is really apt, especially in the light of us having communion this morning. So while it is being dealt out, while the symbols are being dealt out, just bow your head and search your heart. Perhaps something that was said this morning resonated with you. If you feel that there's something that the Lord has spoken to you about, clear it up with him, speak to him, ask his forgiveness, ask for his enabling, ask for his blessing. Let's come before the Lord with clean hearts. Before we take the communion, spend time alone with him in prayer. Oh, Father God, thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for your wonderful, wonderful nature. Lord, that you want to bless us. That you're a God of blessing, a God who wants to pour out blessing because of who you are. You're just so wonderful, and we thank you for that. And Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us to make walking in blessing, walking in your blessing, a part of our lives every single day going forward. Lord, that we would learn to walk in blessing, that you would reveal things by your Spirit to us, that our hearts would be soft before you, that we would live in repentance before you, that we would live in obedience before you, so that to enable you to bless us. That we would walk in humility before you so that you can bless us. And Father, this morning I pray over every single person who's here this morning, who's come to hear your word. I pray for them, oh, that you would bless us indeed. Lord, really, really bless us. May we experience your blessing on our lives. Lord, expand our territory, each and every one. Show us by your Spirit where and how you want to expand our territory, that you would be glorified. May your hand be upon us to guide us, lead us, protect us, enable us, and keep us. And Lord, protect us from evil. Protect us from hurting others. Keep us close to you, and may your blessing be upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.